Okay, this is just a teaching today called the Ascension Process. The Ascension Process. This is Sunday morning 4:3:22. We're going to look at some scriptures. Deuteronomy 30 is the first one. Everything I'm bringing today, except for one portion, is going to be all about the two words we've had previously. All right, Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the strength of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thine fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. It's not the system. Our strength and our length are from him, not the system. All right, now go to Acts 17. You know, if someone wants to ask me today, what's your secret? How do you get to where you were? You got to be completely sold out. There can't not be one foot in, one foot out, striding the fence, mamby-pamby. You're not going to make it as far as the kingdom goes. I'm not saying something bad's going to happen to you. I'm just saying you're not going to walk in the kingdom if you do not, if you're not totally committed, not totally sold out. I mean, every fiber of your being, pursuing after it. I mean, the simple fact that the simple thing that he said we were to do, renew our mind with his word. How many people do you know have done that? Personally, that you know have done that? They may have done it a little bit, maybe in some area, but to really constantly do it, not many. All right, Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So we move, we live and move in him. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's absolutely the truth. Your life is no longer your own. All right, let's keep going. In the kingdom of God, we are not to take a thought about anything. This is key for keeping ascension in process, not carrying care. And I'm telling you, the little foxes were around here yesterday. I'm telling you for sure. Trying to steal. Mm-hmm. Trying to cause us to take care about this little thing and that little thing, getting gripe mode, all that stuff. We're no different than anybody else. Okay, Matthew 6:24. I probably read this scripture more than any scripture I've read over the last nearly 8 years. Help us to get it, Lord. Help us. It's so simple, so cut and dried. All right. No man can serve two masters. How do you serve a master? Thinking process. What you think? One will take priority over the other, I guarantee you. That's the problem. That's where double-mindedness comes in. That's where people get discouraged because they don't get answers to prayer. It's because they're over here 1 minute and they're over there 1 minute. No one can serve two masters, for either will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, you could say the system here, the beast system. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? I mean, you can look around here and watch the birds. It's pretty amazing. I don't see any of them having a nervous breakdown either. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic unto a stature? What thought is he talking about you taking? The one of care for your life. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Most Christians live like Adam. Did you know we were redeemed from the curse? Adam was under that curse, worked by the sweat of your brow. Most Christians are too, yeah. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast to the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. I think we need to ask him about everything, even doors. Yeah. I think we would have had a lot easier time and spent a lot less money and gotten stuff done quicker had we had answers from the Lord who to go to instead of who we got. Not blaming anybody, just saying. Somebody's recommendation, that don't mean squat to me today. But the way people's reputations are today, can't you want to get them to show up to work? Yeah. And I believe if we'd get used to that, then we wouldn't move out ahead, and then we'd say, well, why are we putting up with this mess? Seek ye first the kingdom. God knows it all. He knows who's going to be good and who's going to do a good job and who's going to be fair, who's going to show up. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Okay, one more. In this portion right here, Philippians 4. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. We need to quit depending on what we think about things because we're used to doing it that way. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You see how Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy? He comes to steal that peace. He don't want you walking in peace because he knows if you can walk in peace, you're going to get everything that you ask the Father for and believe for, and he can't do anything, can't take it away from you or anything else. He is powerless. But if you can get into care and start that tuning up and all that mess, all right, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. I know it doesn't make sense to most people. That don't make sense. But it does in the kingdom. Makes perfect sense in the kingdom when you understand it. The peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why? You know, it causes you to think, I've got to fix this. What am I going to do? What does that do? It gets you over into care about things. Then when you get into care, you get grumpy. Yeah. Passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you want to walk in peace, you better guard those thoughts. Stretch. What seems impossible is possible. Even going back in time. I believe that. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there's any virtue and there's any praise, think on these things. Those things, you know how Paul did it right here, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's how he made it through. I mean, if Philip could be translated into future, he ended up in another city, translated, went against the barriers of time. I mean, all kinds of barriers. He went, gravity, everything else. The Spirit picked him up. He is in another place. Why couldn't you go back if you can go forward? I mean, Moses and Elijah met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. They transported from another dimension to this dimension. Isn't that what visions are? heavenly beings back and forth, that ladder that they go back and forth on that Jacob saw? Lord's trying to stretch our minds because we've got things coming that they're going to say this is fact. And we're going to go, tilt, tilt. I thought that was just in the movies. Like it or not, it's coming. I said, Lord, keep us on the straight and narrow path. The whole world is scrambling about to hoard and get what they need, but God does not want us to think that way. It all has to do with your thinking processes. What are you dwelling on? A freezer full of meat or stocked pantry, full gas tank or bare shelves at the grocery store or the gas pumps with no gas? What are you imagining? Frantic and in disarray. This is the ascension or the dissension process. Even the weirdos out there that are talking all this lingo, I think we're saying the same thing. Because they're talking about the love vibration and they're talking about being positive. It raises your ascension. Well, of course it does. That's not anything new. That's biblical. Attitude determines altitude. Let's just say it even more frankly. It's the absolute truth. God has told us what to dwell on to ascend. Out of the Strong's, the word ascend means literally or figuratively to go up. Like David encouraged himself in the Lord when all his men were going to, they wanted to do him harm, griping and complaining. They were tired. They'd been in battle and their stuff was stolen. And here they thought, we're so tired we can't even see straight. And now we got to go to battle again. So he took the ones that were willing, left the rest of them with the stuff, and he went on ahead. He encouraged himself in the Lord. But he was a giant killer, right? That's what a giant killer does. All right, this is Psalms 24. What's my prayer for you this morning is to stretch you. Stretch you above and beyond. If you want to receive above and beyond, you better get that thinking above and beyond. You can't just be your old sorry self, acting ugly and saying things you shouldn't say and getting depressed and moaning and groaning and bawling and squalling and expect to get the be above and beyond if you're underneath. I'm telling you. All right, 24. The earth is the Lord's and fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him. They seek thy face, O Jacob. Salah, which means pause and calmly think of that. When Jesus walked here, he brought the kingdom ways. Not religious ways, kingdom ways. In other words, how they do things in heaven. The leaders of his day thought he had a devil. Well, you're a lunatic. You know, they treat you like you're a lunatic, or they laugh at you because you talk about things that are true, like flat earth, for instance. Yeah. That is substantiated in Scripture. But they'd rather believe the world narrative. It's because they've been brainwashed through propaganda, through the television. Books that they've altered at school. Yeah, you name it. All right. They thought people being healed was evil. Sound familiar? It's because there was a swamp in deep state in Jesus' day also. He knew who they were and he called them out on a few occasions. I'm thinking, a lot of people would probably say, well, why didn't Jesus just clean up the swamp while he was here? Well, he gave us the ability to do it. We now had the same authority that he had. We could use his name and use his blood. to now go and have a chance. I mean, you forget his own people were enslaved by the Romans. When he came, it was bad. It was a deep state for sure in his time. But he left it for us to clean up. He didn't make it. He didn't allow it. All right. The gospel of the kingdom and renewing your minds to God's ways is the ascension process. People today are going to be so surprised when it's not some Star Wars or Star Trek weird transformation to higher planes. It's all about your thinking. We are not talking about physically, but mentally. Remember the word I had, enlarging your tent. Let the Lord stretch you in your thinking. There's a reason He doesn't give it all to you. You would have squandered it. You would have wasted it. He knows because you've done it before. So He's got to get you to where you have stretched enough to contain it when it comes. And contain it with wisdom brings the kingdom of God glory. I mean, I look at the money that just our grandkids have received and thinking, they're always got their hand out, they always need money, never have money for nothing. I'm thinking, well, I want to have a wedding. Well, your grandpa gave you $5,000 for Christmas one year. What happened to that? Well, I went to a ball game and, you know, went to, and whatever. Got my nails did. I'm telling you, there's a responsibility that comes with it. All right, Romans 12. Had my eyebrows did, my eyelashes did. I'm telling you what, that stuff ain't cheap. I'm thinking, I was in my 60s before I ever had my nails done. See, we stayed home. I cooked every day. We didn't go anywhere. We might have a date night every 2 or 3 months. We might go to the movie and go to a meal. We didn't do what these kids do today. All right, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There it is. Christians fall over it. Well, God never speaks to me. God don't ever tell me nothing. Well, I've been my whole life, and I never knew what God wanted me to do. Well, did you ask Him? Did you read His book? Did you find out what's in the will? I bet you if Grandpa left you an inheritance, you'd get in that will probably with a magnifying glass, and you'd find out what's in it for me. Well, you know what? This ought to be the greatest will that you ever come across, and you better get that magnifying glass out and look at it like, oh, I want everything. Because you'll get more out of this than you ever will some physical inheritance. Oh, Lord. New ideas and attitudes that line up with God's will. There it is. New ideas and attitudes that line up with God's will. When you want to curse somebody that's just done work for you, you sorry so-and-so, you say, oh, thank you. Have a nice day. Come on, we got to change our mindsets. This is the kingdom way. It's all about changing your mind for the better. For the better. All right, Philippians 4. I wrote this out in the Amplified. I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified because I like it. It says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, That peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there's any virtue and excellence, is there anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh. I put here meditating. Weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. You wonder how Paul did it? Well, that's what he did. Practice what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. There's a price to pay to have that undisturbed well-being. It's a discipline. The sign of trouble, that shield better go up. All right, practice what you've learned and received and seen in me and model your way of living in it. How did Paul get through all those things? He went through a lot of hard things, but I'll tell you what, he had some supernatural deliverances too. All right, the word transcend here is not in the Strong's Concordance, because that was the Amplified, but in the Webster's Dictionary, transcends means to rise above or go beyond the limits of. Like, stretch. That's what God's wanting to do with your mind. Stretch. To accommodate the kingdom that's coming literally here. See, if we're going to show others the way, we've got to know how to do it ourselves. Right? All right. A few scriptures. Colossians 3. Think about those deals we had to use, you know, for the muscles. That's what I think about when you're stretching your tent pegs. And another way to stretch, I mean, just sit. Instead of thinking about this house is so crowded and I can't put another anything anywhere, sit and think about having something so big that your stuff looks like everything's empty. You can only imagine, you know, only imagine. That's how he made us. To create is by imagining. You ever sit and imagine yourself where you want to be or what you want to do or just something you'd like to have? Do you ever do that? Mm-hmm. Well, if you can think on them ugly things, why waste your time on that? Think of the things that are good, lovely, of good report. Seemly. It's a discipline. All right, Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ. Is this ascension? We don't need to ascend. We're already in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. See, some of these people that are saying these things, they're Christians. I'm thinking, do you even read your Bible? Or are you reading all this weird alien garbage? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, or Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, they scream loud about the mainstream media and how it's brainwashed everybody, and then they've been brainwashed too, again. They're double ignorant. Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. That's ascension. Not on things on the earth. Not for now, anyway. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In other words, we're to act like we're dead to this world, but we're alive unto Christ, and we're ruling and reigning with Him. And this is our place of ascension, and this is the place that we dwell. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and we all say of the Lord. We want to look at that. That's too good. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. You wonder why they call him the Most High? He's the most ascended. He's got the names above every name. He sits in the highest place. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. It goes on and on. All right, 1 Peter. One, 13 and 14. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Let's see where to 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I'm holy. And if you, okay, that was all of it. So girding up the loins of your mind, thinking the right things, being heavenly minded instead of earthly minded. So there is a way we must go to ascend to the hill of the Lord. Ephesians 4. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeding have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Didn't say here to get what you want. It says to give to him that needeth. Let not corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's something we have to do. Love is the highest form of ascension. All right, we're going to look at the love right here, and that'll be our last scripture, 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. Well, the word there, thinketh no evil. My last thought will be here. Love is not just an action. It's a thought before that action. Thinketh no evil. Now, we don't usually act on it, but to think it. You know, I used to think you just, we used to think, you know, the word of faith, or how, not saying they taught it that way, but we took it that way, that if you could just say it enough, you'd get it, not thinking about your thought process. It's just saying words. Well, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, the thinking process, everything to do with it. In fact, it's really the most important thing, because you get that thinking right, then the speaking, it'll take care of itself. But that thinking process, that's the part that we have to get right. Thinketh no evil. Huh.